So I think the growth is done for IT services. If you look at the US S&P 500, there are 7 stocks that have given some crazy returns. They are not new age tech. This is your client dependency. Consumer, BFSI, manufacturing, healthcare. These are all old economy businesses. $22 billion in dividend. This is the same amount of money that OpenAI has raised. Like imagine agar ye paisa tum dividend dene se acha invest karo, shayad tum OpenAI bana dete.
Oh wow. Founder is indispensable for the most part. Senior team members, when they get feedback, there are existential questions also. Does this mean that I will not get promoted? Does this mean I will be irrelevant tomorrow?
I think good businesses in their scale-up zone always create swim lanes, which are very, very clear. And people who can swim the fastest or the best or the longest in those swim lanes will do well.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 38 of the Asymmetric Podcast. Today is one of those episodes where Revan, Chirag and I actually join each other without a guest. So this will be a lot more free-flowing. And also this is board meeting season. Last week of April, July, October and January is usually board meeting. So all three of us have either gone through or are going to go through board meetings. So there will be a lot of reflection on the board meetings. There was, of course, the announcement of the layoff of 12,000 mid to senior management folks at TCS, and what that reflects in terms of not only the organization and one of the crown jewels of Indian public markets, but also overall 20-25% of India's exports and 20-25% of India's public markets from an industry standpoint also. So hugely critical macro indicators on that front. That's a topic we'll go through. I think there are a few more topics that we may defer to next week, given our reflections on our board meetings and our organizations kind of took a lot longer. But welcome to episode 38, and I hope you enjoy today. And please keep feedback coming in. We've seen a significant amount of engagement, especially over the last 3-4 episodes with Adi and Arjun. Comments are really entertaining also, in part, feedbacky in part, and mostly very, very reflective. So keep them coming. Please share this with people, especially founders in your circles who you think might derive value from these discussions, and keep the feedback coming, and I hope you enjoy.
Obviously, this was a big news, right, this week, that TCS laid off 2% of global workforce. While there was a company statement, broadly, the employee chatter is that if you count the number of people on bench and the fact that they have said the people at risk are folks who have been on bench for more than 3 months will also start coming into this fold. They believe it's going to be much more than 2%. So this number of 12,000 may increase to, by the end of the year, the guidance may become that we have laid off 20, 25 or even more, right? Now, this is all conjecture, but we'll see where it goes.
12,000 means there are 6 lakh people
employed,
and you are saying that number can go up to 5%.
Yeah. It's been done in a compassionate way. There's 3 months, as a large global company, there's a decent payout, making sure. And it's largely at the mid and senior level. They're not doing it at the junior level because that's where the bulk of the cost lies, right, in terms of absolute value. But I like this commentary that they're saying it's not because of AI. This is where there's a skill mismatch. They're just saying there's a skill mismatch. I think there's
that's
a broader problem.
Yeah, that's crazy. This is now happening in general across the board. Middle management relevance to organizations is now becoming a lot because of span of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you saying that
just managed 20
is increasing
significantly? I think 2-3-4 episodes back where we have seen that Uber, for example, is now going from 5 or 7 people manage span to almost 18 people span at the senior levels. You don't need so many layers anymore.
Yeah.
We are not seeing efficiency increase in junior levels because of AI, but also increase in span. So then the efficiency gains are across.
Manager productivity also goes up, no? If you can use AI, then you can manage more people because you're able to distill. You don't have to go through a pre-read for 1 hour. You can put it in AI, look at the key points. It can go back to your master prompt and say, "Acha, this was the problem." Or you can, again, my minutes of meeting have become so...
Revan, is this got to do with lesser contracts coming in, contracts not getting written?
Correct. So we'll come there.
Proactive efficiency gains.
No, I'll tell you, my view is a little different. Let's see, in the end, there is always something people say, and then we have to read between the lines and figure out what is really happening, right? So this is the first clear problem. Apart from the COVID 16% revenue year growth, TCS has been a sub 10% revenue growth for more than a decade now, right? So the revenue growth has not been more than 10%. And the last 4 years have been absolutely clobbered, and 2025 looks like a zero growth year. And Why is this? Because I don't think new contracts were coming in over the last decade. So the number of new contracts being signed by people saying, okay, we will outsource our IT services to India, here's $100 million over 5 years, those contracts started diminishing significantly in the last decade. But what has started happening now is a lot of, and these are all 5-year contracts. So you will not see a big change till the contract comes up for renewal. And I think the number of contracts that are not being renewed now is a non-trivial number for all IT services companies. And my read as to why that is happening is essentially this chart, which is what is the actual dependence of revenue for all these guys. So they are all 80% plus dependent on North America plus Europe. All their clients are North America, Europe. 80-90% in some cases are North America, Europe. And these are not Mag 7. These are not Meta or Google. And if you see this is a chart that I think keeps doing its round on Twitter, that if you look at the US S&P 500, there are 7 stocks that have given some crazy returns. But in the last 20 years, the returns of the S&P 500 are like sub 10%. And these are stock returns. So if you look at their EPS growth is even lower, revenue growth is even lower. So if all your clients are US and Europe, their growth is like sub 10%, they are at 5% growth, they are struggling. The shareholders will then ask them, ki bhai tum kar kya rahe ho, right? Where is the revenue growth or where is the margin growth? So it's a matter of time before people start saying that, okay guys, we have reached the limit of our growth. We are now going to be a 10% growth company. Let's see where we can bring more efficiencies. And the first place to bring efficiency is look at a $100 million, $200 million contract and say, does this need to be $50 million? Wow. So in my view, this singular dependency that these guys have built, and this is a very macro view I have, that and look at the GDP, right? GDP growth of US is 2-3%. Europe though is like negative growth.
Yeah.
Flat or negative. GDP, likho, grow nahi ho raha hai. Usme tumhare jo clients hai, they are not new age tech, right? This is your client dependency. Consumer, BFSI, manufacturing, healthcare. These are all old economy businesses. In an economy that is growing 0-2%, those companies are not growing. It's a matter of time before they will start saying that, oh, why are we paying $200 million or $300 million to a Infosys or a TCS when this can be done at half the price? It absolutely is. Look at this revenue growth. Now, I'm telling you, 2025, most likely 2026 will be negative growth. So I think the growth is done for IT services. No. Like, we are going to be sub 5% growth for most of these businesses.
So really,
unless they figure out India.
Just comparing, TCS was 21 billion revenue and now it has gone to 30. If I look at that for Infosys now, Infosys March 2020 year was 90,000 crores of revenue. It has become 1,62,000 in 25. So I think TCS is growing much slower.
I don't know kiski dependency kya hai, but inka to clearly... Clearly, dependence. But मुझे तो ये बहुत scary लगता है. Maybe Infosys is a little bit more. I don't know. But North America being 58%, I don't know what is the client breakup. Is it more? Also, look at the other aspect. No, H-1Bs are being contested. कि भाई क्यों चाहिए? There is also a broad Trump focus saying don't outsource to India. So just too many headwinds now for the industry. Broadly, see, there is also an internal view that people are not upskilled. You're not invested in AI. Like, there's this very famous, Vishal Sikka got Infosys to invest in OpenAI in 2015-16, right? Like, I don't know if you know, $100 million, because he believed in AI and he said, boss, we should. But then the guy was let go because he was maybe too cavalier or he was too aggressive, because he believed that that is the future and maybe Infosys wanted to be the steady ship IT services company. So there's no innovation that has happened. There's no upskilling that has happened. Your markets are not growing.
OpenAI in 2015, is it?
I think so. He was one of the first, the seed investor. Either Vishal or Infosys.
Crazy. Very interesting. But I think Infosys, amongst others, has had a kind of advantage when it comes to digital services and so on, definitely compared to DCS, Wipro, HCL.
Yeah. So Vishal invested. Yeah, he not Infosys. He personally invested in OpenAI.
They had the right guy at the top.
At least who believed in the future and said, this is what the future will look like. Who had access, you know, who had the network with the Silicon Valley, you know, people who were thinking 10 years ahead, right? Kya, kya, kahan jayegi dunia karke? Our leadership today is, at least in these companies, is... It's a cash cow, right? And there's also a separate thing about TCS, right? That it's the biggest cash cow for Tata Sons, which is a philanthropic trust, which does a lot of great things, right? Like Tata Sons the amount of philanthropy that is done is spectacular. Even today, if I look at the Tata Memorial Hospital and the amount of free treatment or the subsidized treatment for cancer patients, not just in Bombay, now they have like multiple centers all over India. There's a bunch of stuff done. But yeah, the cash cow is largely this. In between, kabhi-kabhi Tata Motors gives up a decent dividend. Sometimes Tata Steel does well, but it's been on and off. TCS has been the cash cow, 70-80% of market cap for the longest amount of time for Tata Sons, right? So I don't think the incentives are finally aligned to say, yaar, disruption karte hain, reinvent karte hain, karte hain. And all of these promoters have moved on. These are all professionally managed companies now.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
You know, the bigger worry for me is IT services forms like, I think, 20-25% of our Nifty index. If you take a... And the market index is a weighted average market, on weighted average market cap, right? So it's a very significant portion. At some point of time, it will start have to getting re-rated to not depend on IT services as such.
Wow.
See, this is the big problem I see. What is the highest growth market today in the world? India. And 2-3% of your revenue is dependent on India. So, like, where is the 100 million contract from an Axis Bank to a TCS? Yeah, I think ek bar wo dependency aa gayi na, ki dollar mein kamao aur INR mein kharch karo, wo labor arbitrage pe bahut zyada, wo culture mein chad gaya hai wo. There's an interesting tweet. TCS has given $22 billion in dividend over since listing. $22 billion. This is the same amount of money that OpenAI has raised to create AGI or whatever, rule the entire AI. Like, imagine agar ye paisa tum dividend dene se achcha invest karo, shayad tum OpenAI bana lete.
Oh, wow. Bhai, did you guys see? Marathi Manus has become the global CEO of Procter & Gamble, yaar.
Yeah.
I saw your post.
Big deal, yaar. It's a big deal. P&G is... Like, I know we have kind of conquered tech and IT and all of that. Starbucks, and Indira Nui and Lakshman were different. But what Procter & Gamble is like, boss, it's a white man's firm, yaar.
Achha,
out and out.
Achha,
yeah. Out and out, yaar. Out and out. $42 billion of P&G revenue come from the US. Out of $85 billion. Half is US.
Half. But Unilever will be SEO, no?
No. Actually, it's a big part of Unilever. Actually, I think 15-20% of Unilever.
No, it's not.
Market cap pe to hoga. Unilever also Dutch, na? The Dutch company, so thoda European hai.
Achha.
Thoda American hai, thoda India, HUL is very strong. P&G is $42 billion just US out of $85 billion. Also, the thing is, na, most like Sundar, for example, yahan pe padke fir wahan jaake MBA kiya. Indira Nui also wahan jaake second MBA kiya. I am Calcutta, fir udhar jaake booth se aaya hamara these places.
This is the first guy who's out and out only Indian.
Yeah,
Indian
studied. I am Lucknow and then 36 years career, yaar.
Unilever overall is 60 billion euros. HUL is 6.7 billion. So 11%.
Pretty big. But big deal, yaar. See, he has to get everything right. You only have a 35-year career in an organization where promotions happen only every 3-4 years. Right? So you have 10 to 12 shots to get to the corner office. After a point, now people just laterally move here and there. It becomes very difficult. So you, I'm assuming you take a role between category and geography and keep making big, big jumps. And you have to, each jump has to be meaningful enough. You see, I was reading up about the guy, right? I think, A, of course, performance is off the chart, but वैसे बहुत लोग होते हैं who deliver great numbers. I think with him, na, he actually started creating a lot of followership in the firm. Like, people would just, if he would change roles, na, like the 100 people below him would kind of follow him or want to follow him. So, suddenly there's a mobilization of talent that he was able to create, which I think, is what differentiated him from other high performers whom you had every
year. We have discussed this. I don't know, me and Chirag Toh keep discussing this. I have just boiled this down to every manager or leader who comes to me and says, I want to grow. I keep telling them, your number one skill set has to be to generate followership with talent. To talent magnet, where to attract, kar, develop, kar, jo karna hai kar. Talent tere saath kaam karega, tere wo jitna promotion chahiye, jo role chahiye, ek hi reh jata hai after a while. It's just one and only one thing.
If you are able to attract, na, then people will make you redundant, you will have more bandwidth to grow.
Crazy leverage, yaar. Great talent. People, I think everyone knows this theoretically, okay? I think very few people actually experience it.
Do you think they invest time with their teams? I'll keep seeing the reverse. I keep seeing not achieve their full potential. I see this a lot now because 16 years I have worked with so many people. And the reverse is also true. Every talented person who I have seen get limited at a certain position or not being able to achieve more than what they were doing in the past has also been because of that. That their ability to develop talent or hire great talent, then delegate, etc. becomes a big challenge. And you're right, theoretically they know it. But when I ask them ki aap ye kyun nahi kar pa rahe ho, at least I have seen two broad problems. One of the biggest ones that I see is lack of empathy. I think empathy is too soft a word, EQ. Let's say EQ is a more corporate understanding of, like, and you can't develop EQ very easily. You're either there by nature, or you have to nurture your own self-awareness and accept and say, okay, I need to develop this and work at it. And it's very hard. It's very hard and it takes a lot of time. Actually, more than hard, it takes time. And it needs a lot of patience. It's like going to the gym. Every day, you are not seeing any gains, but tum ja rahe ho, tum kar rahe ho. And it happens maybe after 3-4 years that there's no measurement for it. Actually, dusra dikkat ye hai na apne corporate mein ki everyone wants to measure ki acha, am I moving or not, right? You can't see EQ. You need to keep getting feedback. And the feedback will not be every month. People will see it over a quarter or maybe 6 months and say, yeah, we are seeing that you're putting some effort. You're doing better than before. But the bar is not clear. It's very hazy. So one is EQ. The other is, I just think, common sense of spending time and investing in people. That it's a job. Forget not having EQ. Just have the basic courtesy that as a manager or as a leader, your number one job is to first make your people successful. Right? Somehow that's also missing in... like, most common thing I see from young kids is my manager doesn't give me time. I'm like, yeah, how can you not give your team time? That is a number, like, crime. Okay, you have to be available for your team at all points of time. So,
it's an important but not urgent part of the bucket. Now, spending time with the team without agenda or without work is always important but not urgent. So, you always kick the. My view, now, Revanth, on this is actually revolved over a period of time is you tend to project to your people around you and compensate for things that you did not get. For example, if you were born to a family where parents did not kind of give you the attention you needed growing up, you will become an overcompensatory parent in all likelihood. So people who are managers growing up the ranks will start overcompensating for things they did not get. I also feel like people confuse, and I think as maturity and growth happens, initially your view of people management as you are a young manager is around popularity, being liked. People confuse followership with being a nice person or doing things or kind of being a bend over and so on, right? There are a lot of even senior folks I see who are very people pleasing or team pleasing without like compromising for company outcomes, for example.
Oh.
Right? That's the stage one. Stage two is where they start becoming a lot more empathetic. So popularity becomes replaced with empathy. And at some stage, empathy also becomes extremely dangerous. If you're over empathetic, then it stops you from being a real leader. And I think the big delta that I think a lot of people, including me, struggle with is going from empathy to compassion. And it's a very very clear distinction. Like, empathetic leaders are actually roadblocks to organizations.
Say more, give examples.
Making the other person's problems or making the other, like, it is not my job as your manager to be in your shoes. It might be my job to understand it once in a while, and that should be one of the many inputs into my decision or into my approach. But compassion is more important. You're a human being. Here are your variables. Here is what is the bigger picture. And then we should take a call which is slightly more dispassionate, objective, and having your good also as kind of baked in. And I think that's the one shift I see really good leaders make very well. They can be brutal when it comes down to it. You'll feel like, you know, in some situations they're extraordinarily compassionate and, you know, kind of for the other person. But many times they take calls that are unpopular and so on. So I think compassion is most important.
Actually, interestingly, I got this feedback recently. So I do a yearly... it's a tough job because founders, CEOs don't get brutal feedback, right? Like, we are like the venture ecosystem is very well known for being very founder friendly, right? And at the extreme end, you have governance issues. At the other extreme end, things are all hunky dory because founders are in the arena every day fighting the battles, and therefore there's a lot of empathy and, you know, founder friendly firstness, I can call it. But when you get past PMF, right, the broader question that I keep asking is there should be feedback loops, right? To just build self-awareness. So my recent yearly review, I got feedback that empathy is a very small part of overall EQ. So in when you have, you need to have very high EQ as a leader, which you do, that this was feedback for me. You're building more self-awareness. You are trying to regulate and manage your emotions, though I'm not the best at it. You are motivated to achieve goals and you have empathy to understand others' feelings and you have social skills. So there's a very high EQ bar that I have, which is great. The two places I need to work on is manage my own emotions. I should, as the company grows larger, learn to manage them. But more critically, they said you are over-indexed on empathy. So to your point, Shantanu, the feedback that I got was that overall in EQ, if you over-index on empathy, you will not, exactly what you said, that you will not be a great leader because you now have to learn to be more objective. You're not holding hands and trying to cross the river. But if the company is now at a certain scale, there's a lot more objective first principle frameworks that can be used to grow the business from here. You don't need to, like every day is not a battle ki yaar kal lot ke nahi aayenge karke types, right? So the paths become a lot more objective. Maybe there is still 20% ekdam 0 to 1 kuch kuch karna hai. But most teams need to have a clear jobs to be done framework. You know, you can hire for that. The talent is available to take the company in the 1 to 10 zone. Empathy is a big problem in there because a lot of the leadership that you develop in the 0 to 1 stage, they are not skilled labor. They're just coming, they're generalists who are trying to say that, you know, let's win this battle and let's figure out, let's build a great company. But as you start needing specialists, the generalists need to understand that now they need to be a specialist role. And empathy is what stops the leader giving that feedback. That boss, you now have to be a specialist, right? So it's an interesting point that I always mixed up EQ and empathy. And then when I got this feedback, I went and read properly ki yaar EQ ke kya 4-5 component hai, empathy is one part of them. And we generally oscillate between over-indexing on one or the other. So while it's very good to have self-awareness, keep that as the highest, have a very high social skills framework, because as a leader, you need to interact effectively with others. Be very motivated to achieve your goals. But what is also important and very hard for me at least is self-regulation. And at least the feedback I have got is I'm very high on empathy. I mean, maybe need to regulate that a little bit.
And especially, I think more so specialist ka bar jo hai na, I think is going up. With AI coming in, I think specialists have to become like even 99% specialists now. Because otherwise, most of this generalist work is being done by AI. And do you think then the need for empathy, compassion goes up even more?
Like pushing my current team to become AI first and empathizing ki yaar 15 saal se ya 10 saal se ya 5 saal se jo bhi kisi ka career raha hai, they have not been able to think AI first. So I should be empathetic to their situation, and there's almost, I need a lot of to do work to be done. Din mein utne hi time hai, kaise time nikalenge seekhne ke liye ki AI se, versus getting a 22-year-old who has not seen any other way and whose default day zero status ki can this be done with AI, right? The brutally objective CEO has to say, ki, yeah, let me start getting these 22-year-olds and see if we can reimagine the way marketing is done or ops is done or tech is done and so on and so forth. The empathetic leader would say, ki, yaar, give them time. It's not fair. Tum kaun sa khud itna AI adopt kar chuke ho? Like, tum bhi to bahut slowly ja rahe ho because you also have some limited time in the day. And I don't know, it's a very hard question for me to answer.
And yeah, that's also true, Revanth. I think this wave is secular, no doubt, but I don't think so. Things are changing in a month, right? So one can take time, get used to this. You know, there is no need for a knee-jerk reaction or an urgent move ki yaar aaj karna hai. I think this can be a slow, gradual change which can happen.
Correct. Also, like what Adi said, right? I think Adi said that the organization you build, the culture is basically a collection of incentives. Is the incentives you reward, incentives for the behavior you reward is creates the culture. It's not very, it's not anything beyond that, right? So, I think eventually, as founders, I think one of the things that I've tried to realize is that everyone is different. And to your point, Trevand, I think regulate emotions is yes, but your emotion is what makes Mosaic what it is. So my one pinch of salt on this feedback would be regulate when it becomes erosive, which in my view, having known you for 10 years, I think would be 1 in 20 times. Baki 19 times, it is what makes your company what it is. So don't regulate it. This is all therapies that comes our way to kind of make us more agreeable to people who find it hard to be around and kind of so on. So,
I'll do the nuance. I agree with you, right? The nuance I would say is, I like the way the feedback was given. Ki when your company is 100 crore, your words as a CEO do matter. But when it becomes 1,000 crore, your words are heavier and they matter a lot more. Yeah. And therefore, you have to measure the weight of the word and then So, for sure. The regulation of emotions is more a ask, because the size of the company is such that it starts becoming meaningful for all shareholders. And if you go back to the fiduciary responsibility of the CEO, it is to give the highest risk-adjusted returns to all shareholders. And therefore, first principle common sense would say that, and that's why I actually use this word. If you remember in the podcast before, I had said share price is the OKR. I've actually changed that to risk-adjusted share price. It's a very interesting nuance. You can increase the share price by getting higher profit, or you can also increase it by reducing risk. So that's a nuance I have never actually factored in my life. Like for 42 years, I have never conceptualized risk. Like there's zero risk. Kya ho jayega? Worst case, kya ho jayega? So I was always the 0-1 guy, right? Ki bhai, kya hi ho jayega? Because it's 0 or it's 1. There is no, it's fully black and white life, right? But I think the interesting push that comes, because I said that now, you know, I'll think like a CEO and not like a founder. So then you drop the emotional state, you start becoming more objective. So then the feedback also becomes more objective. And I realized that people don't like risk after a certain size and scale. And it may also be a function of the stage of the company or the way the what is the state of the cap table, what is the state of the markets, etc. For example, a public market investor would always want the highest returns but fully risk adjusted, right? Like they'll be like, bhai duniya ka risk mat le but 25% de de karke. Whereas a VC would say that bhai, if you're not going for 50x, then what is the point? So, but when we move from spectrum to spectrum, as the company keeps scaling, then the expected becomes more and more risk-adjusted return, and therefore risk profile
absolutely
changes for 0-1 bets, risk profile changes for kind of acquisitions you'll think of, risk profile changes for how much capital you will put at risk for a new project, risk profile changes for the talent that you would want to onboard, right? Because it becomes easier and easier over time. Once the business starts taking shape, it's easier to take a bet on someone who's been there, done that. Like, for example, if you want to hire someone for Amazon, you will now hire from a talent pool that says that, yeah, isko Amazon bahut acche se aata hai, because you can now afford as a 400-500 crore revenue company to hire the best, like the top 10 people on Amazon, because they would want to work for a 500 crore company going to a 1,000 crore company, right?
Yeah.
Whereas when you are 100 crores, you may not have access to the... You may have access, but they may not join you, because either you can't pay or they don't have the motivation to say, ki yaar, 100 crore se kitna hi ho jayega, 300 crore ho jayega. They may not have the vision and motivation. Whereas what we hired was people who believed that nahi yaar, ye 100 crore ka Bombay Shaving company 1,000 crore banega karke ek din, right? So that intrinsic motivation is more EQ, is where I think your early hires will come in. But then over time, I think, going back to Chirag's point, specialists who have to be 99th percentile in their respective, I don't know. It's a tough journey. I keep questioning how much specialization, like the missionary versus mercenary framework. Like there are too many different frameworks in which you will have to figure out how to build that team out.
All of this actually comes down to this will affect you on every decision, right? So the cascading of decisions becomes critical, right? So for example, today, choti si cheez hai, right? So for example, today we have a middle management run that has CM2 targets. They don't have EBITDA targets. Now, because they have CM2 targets, their hiring is not something that they think about from a P&L standpoint. They don't have ROI view on hiring. They're like, because log chahiye, kaam hai, log chahiye, right? And then it goes to Deepak, and Deepak is like, intern free mein le lo. I cannot give you more budget on this. This is what it is. Now, the cascading impact on this is that over a period of time, people start feeling that Bombay Shaving Company is a place where you can work, where work is great, but they don't value you. Founder goes on podcast and waxes eloquent on, you know, creating value, but internship free mein kara rahe. So now, long-term perception becomes hugely erosive, right? And hence, you have to take some of these calls. This is like one of 1,000 decisions that probably you're taking at a monthly level. So, wo becomes critical, because I always wonder, end state sabke liye alag hai. Aapke liye to end state hai nahi. There is no end state for the founder, right? Unless you sell and leave, which is, I think, one in 10 chance or whatever. But if you're building for decades, then aapke liye koi end state nahi hai. Sabke end state alag alag hai. And the company's metrics have to be so that all these end states are kind of balanced in some equilibrium. My only point, Raven, to your thing is, as you get bigger, and I love this phrasing which Toshan had, which is the bigger you get, the louder the scream of a CEO's whisper. So your whisper becomes a scream, right? And the scream gets louder as you become bigger. So, but that does not mean that you regulate emotion. That just means that the articulation and audience of that emotion should be very thoughtfully done. But you should feel it, because we don't want to robotize founders. into feeling less than what they should do. Because that is the most, like that. Wahi toh hai na yaar, passion. Wahi toh hai passion. Wahi toh hai. That's the fuel that will take you for 50 years.
Yeah. You're not regulating that. Yeah.
Only you.
Thoda apna, like for example, think about it, right? Like the amount of, you're a passionate individual, right? But when you talk about anything passionately and you may have figured out a way to develop a thick skin to not let's say the online trolling affect you. But at some point of time, it does start affecting people around you as well, right? And at least your parents, your immediate board members and stuff like that, they'll get it. But how it impacts every single employee of Bombay Shaving Company, you will not know, right?
Correct.
So, thoda bahut wo onus na aajata hai wo. People always look to you for guidance, for leadership, for capital raising, capital allocation, hiring the best talent, inspiring more people to join, inspiring, let's say, a channel partner like Blinkit to work with you closely and give you lesser margins than others because they love you and whatever it is, right? But in the end, that's the trade-off, right? Passion always has the two sides.
100%. So there is a regulation of the articulation. So for example, to give you an example, there is significant feedback to me that I need to have more neutral points of view, especially in public. And it's a very valid feedback because so sometimes, you know, the extreme ends of these articulations become problematic. So then you have to kind of become a lot more measured in your words. It's like if you were to take a super extreme example, if a Pahalgam attack happens, what happens to the Prime Minister of the country from an emotional standpoint is extreme. But his statement is extremely measured. However, he is feeling the state because it affects like 140 crore people, right? I think that's the nuance. You should feel it. Because if you don't feel it, you don't take the right calls. If you start regulating what you feel itself with the fear that what I'm going to articulate is going to reflect something extreme, then you will start taking lesser and lesser CEO calls or founder calls. I think you should feel it, but then really, really kind of temper the articulation very thoughtfully. That's the trick, I think. But if you stop feeling it,
I don't think the ask is to stop feeling it. The ask is to not immediately say what's on your mind. Because I think people feel a lot more hurt than they did before. Like when you're a small company, people don't feel it that much. But when you're a larger company, people are like, yaar, aisa kyun bol diya karke is tarah.
I don't want anyone telling founders to regulate their emotions because that is just not.
I don't think that's the ask. The ask is, actually, it's very weird. Like my team always told me that we always knew where you stood with us because aapke muh pe dikh jata hai. I'm like, great, achhi baat hai. Like life is so simple, right? Everyone knows where they stand. Are they screwing up? Are they doing a good job? Like, I never had to say good job. People would know that, ha, yaar, Revant toh bol raha hai ki achha kaam kar raha hai because it's very clear where I would spend time, where I would say that, yaar, aur ye solve karte hai, who I would give more work and stuff like that. But over time, that starts becoming too much of a signal as the org grows because people are like, ki, yaar, how do we get into this group? And so, I think, Chirag, you had this wonderful article you had shared to me that founders don't realize when their behavior actually becomes politics. I don't remember the exact article. Can you pull that up? An amazing article, Shatani. You should also read it. Like I was like, oh my god, like this is so right. Because as an org grows, if you don't measure your, as you said, you feel the emotion, but how you react to it, you need to start being a little bit more objective with it because people start reading into these cues and start feeling things that you may not even intend for them to feel. Right? So, it's an interesting...
How do you manage that, by the way? I know we have a bunch of topics to cover, but I know Revant, you and I have discussed it. Chirag, I'm sure, also experiences it, even though I'm not sure he has discussed, we have discussed it in as much depth. But do you see, like, one of the things with founders is you have to create strong leaders and followership in strong leaders who then go on to create more followership, right? One of the flip sides of strong followership is that sometimes you create alphas in the leadership team who may not see eye to eye with each other. And then you have to kind of dissonant followership situations. And a lot of times people have to like kind of align with this general or this general or this general. And they're all powerful, high performing folks. So then suddenly, do you encourage it? Recognize that this is the function of like a 200 people org that you will have, you know, kind of dissonant people. And as long as company gets done, it's good competition. Or do you feel like it's risky and, you know, it almost creates camps and multiple union type situations with, you know, there's no right answer on these things. So people have different opinions.
Tell you, I have a very strong view in this because I've seen this and I'm trying to address this by calling it out head on, is anybody who's reporting to me directly, I have realized at least direct people who report to me cannot play status games. And I realized the biggest delta is you can identify who's playing a status game and who's playing a wealth game. For example, the two things that I see that breed this behavior is insecurity. Ki, you know, do I have the highest amount of power or do I have a P&L that will get more budget than somebody else's P&L and stuff like that? Again, hiring budget, for example, right? People actually equate ki, iska team itna bada hai, mera team itna chota kyun hai. Like, these are very status games kind of behaviors, right? Then I see insecurity behavior. Ki, yaar, aapne mere ko email pe baat, you didn't involve me in this meeting. I'm like, I'm not thinking about this half the time ki, achha, main kis kis ko meeting mein mark kar.
Designation asks, do you put that as a status game?
100%. Designation ask, not being marked on emails, talking to an L-2 directly without telling me that you are talking to my team. I know I'm not regulating my emotions right now. So, yeah. They're
good. I'm glad. That's the feedback I want. No, I completely agree. Completely agree.
And this was the article we were talking about how to minimize politics in your company.
Good examples that they have given.
Yeah, I think I like the most interesting part was this. Promotions ki baat kar rahe the na, every time your company gives someone a promotion, everyone else at the personal level evaluates the promotion, judges whether this was right or not. If the latter, then the other employees generally react in three ways. They sulk and feel undervalued, they outward disagree, they attempt to copy the political behavior. He's saying that as founders, you shouldn't even engage in this because...
100%.
Be very careful about how you listen and the message it sends. Simply by hearing also people say, oh, that Chirag agreed to this. Sometimes I feel that, at least I'm a little inert hota raha abhi on these noises. Abhi beech mein main ek mahina Delhi nahi aaya, to I started to hear that, oh, Chirag doesn't love Delhi office, Delhi folks, so this office is going to get shut. And then suddenly we have a new, full floor in Delhi. So I don't know how to respond. Abhi main teen bari Delhi aa gaya hu last 4 weeks mein, so I don't know how Bangalore folks are feeling.
Bangalore folks are bhai hab to gaye, Chirag is zyada happy.
Wapis shift.
I'm telling you, pakka wahan chai vibe pe charcha ho rahi hogi ki yaar Chirag aajkal office mein nahi, bahut Delhi ja raha hai pakka na, matlab I think Delhi walon ka acha promotion hua raha
hai. Bude founder signals through behavior, even very very subtle subconscious behavior, I think are picked up. Yeah, organizing becomes large, you become lesser and lesser approachable, how much ever you want to be. In our case, there is also like this bunch of young people want to take selfies also. So that creates more distance with the person. Like, I like it, frankly. I feel it's a good thing. But beyond a point, you will lead to a lot more conversations. Also, like, people have very, like, people's viewing of decision is so weird. So, for example, our office, there's a foosball table. Two hours, the kids play loudly. There's a team sitting there. Someone must have complained, this is too loud. So now the HR could have said, you only can play in these slots, 1 to 2 p.m. or 5 to 7 p.m. or whatever. So, baki time you cannot play. Or play quietly or give some more. Foosball table is gone. Table itself is gone. So now people are like, our Bombay Shaving Company ka tagline hai, khul ke khel. Our culture hai, limitless expression. Or football table chala gaya. Actually, this is the
thing. I love this that people frame argument conveniently to suit their,
We are against the culture because we have foosball table hadal. I said, boss, 1 second, first of all. Football table ka koi yahan pe jarurat nahi hai. Agar kisi ko khelna, we let people go and play. If there are sports games, cricket, football, etc. There are enough teams, we sponsor it. That's the extent of it. Khul ke khelna.
And frankly, khul ke khelna is a brand philosophy. Sponsor karke bhejte. Khul ke khelo.
So, yeah, matlab people's views on things, etc. becomes very important. And the way they articulate it. Yes. But frankly, they're also feeling it. Na? End of the day, you cannot invalidate what someone feels. So they feel it, so it's right. You have to be very careful about how you articulate and what your expectations are.
I don't think you should. मैं तो actually realize कर रहा हूँ कि अभी यार HR सब कुछ HR देखेगा भाई मैं मेरा HR का domain HR बताएगा कर. That's why you have to drop the founder tag, Shantanu. It will be emotional. Like maybe you should talk to Mr. Jejurikar and ask, invite him on the pod. पूछते यार आपने 30 साल कैसे PNG में talent develop किया ताकि talent followed you where you avoided all of these pitfalls that we seem to be getting. But I would argue that it's a process oriented business. Yeah.
और PNG में there is not much variable ना. The rules are so clear. You have to play to those rules. So the people who play... Because he doesn't have to worry about football table aayega, nahi aayega. I don't think Shailesh ever has to worry about
that's it. The learning, na, Shantanu. Maybe we should have ground rules that set the culture for the year. And go back to the Amazon leadership principles or... I think good businesses in their scale-up zone always create swim lanes, which are very, very clear. And people who can swim the fastest or the best or the longest in those swim lanes will do well. I think maybe our job becomes more of defining those swim lanes versus trying to get into these.
I'll tell you the issue. The issue is we want people to take risks and do crazy things also, right? And 0-1 journeys or more 0-1 journeys. And then when we make rules around it, it is not taken well. So what I've realized is, for example, people kept complaining about indiscipline of younger talent, okay? The moment you put like an HR system which tells ki you punched in out of 22 days, you punched in after 11 a.m. on these 9 days. The same team is coming back. I said, you are the one who was complaining about indiscipline. Now when your team has been shown the mirror, you are now saying ki nahi. How do you want us to word it? Do you want us to sugarcoat? How do you sugarcoat something like this to a 23-year-old young employee? So, you need discipline, but you don't want to tell them. What gentle parenting do you want to do? You don't want to do it. So, for me, that's the issue. Like the whole Google culture, bean bags and
massage. My view is, this is, I think, a transitionary phase. Going back to, I really enjoyed last time what Arjun said, right? Well, this is hopeless wala situation. Na. Actually, culture setting mein wo bahut hota hai. As CEOs, I'm sure we keep thinking, because, yeah, this is a very hard problem to design. Like, P&G is 150 years old. Unilever will be 100 years old as a business.
More, yeah. P&G is only 200 years old. 180 or 90 years old.
If you are in whatever year, 5 years, 6 year, year 9, 10 of our business, I mean, over the next 10 years, we'll have to set a culture, right? I think there are people who have figured this out, if you ask me. And I think you should always get external professional help for this. I think when I got leadership coaching for myself, it just built a little bit more self-awareness. Then I got it for 3 of my leaders. They say it didn't help, but I can clearly see the difference. Thoda denial to rehta hai ye sabko. Okay. So now I yeah, again, see, there are three stages, right? There is awareness, acceptance, and action.
Disbelief stage pe hai wo bhi.
But action nahi kar rahe kuch wo. Theek hai? Acceptance bhi bahut hard ho rahi hai unko. But at least awareness aa gayi hai ki they are like, haan, abhi samajh gaya dikkat kya hai. एक्सेप्ट नहीं करना चाहते पर ठीक है यार एटलीस्ट फेज वन तो पहुंचा अवेयरनेस तो पहुंचा उसके बाद एक्सेप्टेंस आएगा फिर कभी ना कभी एक्शन आएगा करके बट आई हैव नाउ गॉन अहेड एंड पुट 10 पीपल इन द मैनेजमेंट अंडर अ डिफरेंट लीडरशिप कोचिंग प्रोग्राम एंड आई एम रियलाइजिंग धीरे धीरे ना आई थिंक वी आर इनएफेक्टिव एज लीडर्स बिकॉज ऑफ प्रॉक्सिमिटी लाइक चिराग विल रिलेट टू दिस बट आफ्टर इयर्स एंड इयर्स ऑफ मैरिज ना मैं यही सबसे कॉमन एडवाइस देता हूँ मैं Half the time, my wife is like, "तू सुनी नहीं रहा मैं क्या बोल रहा हूँ," right? वो हो जाता है, right? Because you're just every day you're talking, you get used to it. So then the value of your words reduces, right? It's just human behavior. It's how the mind works. You can't. I mean, active listening, fully being present in the moment is very hard, right? So a lot of things just become like, "कि हाँ यार बोला था करके," but I didn't think about it twice. Happens with us also when teams tell us we are a little not. Fully listening sometimes to their cries of help because they are coming in different forms. Happens with them also because they are like, ye to yaar 5 saal se yehi cheez bol raha hai karke, to ab main, I'm not going to listen. So you need a little change in environment. And I have realized a small change in environment yields the same words to have a very different impact. So I would urge you to guys to think about it. Like at least mujhe to kafi, I see a lot of movement finally on people having higher awareness and building acceptance faster with external help versus me telling them. At least mujhe to clearly dikh raha hai. Actually, SD, you know this, yaar. In the first 2 years or 3 years when I was on the board, why would you ask me to give a message?
Always. Ghar ki murgi dal barabar. It's very clear, na?
Yeah.
It comes much louder from an external person. Much louder. Yeah. Especially on the board, there's that. You hear it once in a while. I'll be giving 20 instructions a day. This will be the 21st. Correct. I'll be giving one feedback a month. From a position of a board member. It just speaks right. Louder.
But both of you,
from a power equation,
how comfortable people have been to, let's say, outsider coaching, etc., or that has been well accepted?
Very accepted. See, the coach also has to earn their right. Coach cannot, like, if Raven did not know performance marketing and was just randomly coming and shooting the breeze, they would, after a while, smart people realize that there is, but he was very sharp. I think two things. One is if, for example, Toshan, works with Deepak on and off on communication, managing board meeting, etc. Toshan is an expert on this. So Deepak learns 5 things in every conversation. Second is Deepak also knows that my level of respect for Toshan is very, very high. So he knows that, Toshan has the founder's ear and respect. So there is something there. He's an investor for many years. Plus, by the way, every time I learn something. So now the weight of the feedback, the weight of the coaching, the importance of preparing for let's say a 1 hour chat with him, Deepak does a lot. But if these are not the cases, then it was just like some paid executive coach who, the organization paid that person for a mandate of 15 people. and kabhi hai kabhi nahi hai etc, then it becomes a little tricky. Wo hai
matlab what I'm doing right now is that openness, but usme I'm still there's a process
in your cases, sorry, but openness comes from the people itself, that they realize that okay, there is some problem. But Driven, you were saying that you had to instill that awareness. That first step was to actually...
Alphas mein toh bahut hard hota hai. Alphas are... They are always in denial. They are always defensive. Ki, because they project the problem outward. Ki, org mein problem hai. Like, for example, all of my leadership blames me for everything. Ki, Revanth mein problem hai. Karke. I'm like, thik hai, mere mein problem. Thik hai? I will try to fix whatever there is. But is there something you need to fix? It's just a very objective question to ask, right? One of the places, Shantanu, where I have learned not to be emotional. I mean, koi dikkat. Main galat hu, main solve karunga. Aap batao, aap aur kya karna chahte ho? Like, let's assume I solve this, will everything get solved? Then the real introspection has to happen, right? And usme they find it very hard because, again, as I said, my feedback will be taken with a defensiveness. So it's almost like, I'll tell you, it's very eerie. My board members, when they tell me something, in the first 4 or 5, before I took leadership coaching, I used to be defensive. Only after I took leadership coaching did I start seeing it objectively and double clicking and saying, yaar, main defensive nahi hoonga. Aap mere benefit ke liye bol rahe ho. Right? Because the leadership coach gave me a very, very, very simple word. All feedback is helpful. Whether you want to act on it or not is your choice. But you should always take it. And objectively distill it and say, ab ispe unko act karna hai ki nahi karke. But objective raho usme. Right? Uske baad, to matlab, I don't mind it. In fact, you would know this, right? So Chirag interviewed my new chief of staff, Shantanu. What I loved is he went to my board members and said, I'm going to be chief of staff to this guy. Before I take up the role, I want to know whose chief of staff I'm going to be. What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? They were far more objective and brutal to him than to me because they knew that mereko bolega to main bura maan jaunga. To wahan se aaya fir kuch feedback mere paas. Nahi yaar, bahut badhiya hai, chalo. So even, and again, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Chirag. So I have gone to Chirag's board member and taken feedback about Chirag. And they have given me a very different articulation because it's easier for them to do it. And I'm like, aap mujhe batao, main baat karunga usse karke. Right? Because they fear that relationship will get affected. Like, agar main tere kuch bol dunga, toh bura maan jayega tu. Right? Aur maante hai log bura yaar, it's by design. Matlab, everyone feels it's not easy to hear things that is bitter truth, right? So I have realized that the world has trained us to be very, very careful of giving the brutal truth. And that actually disallows you to improve faster. And for me, the shock was, I am anything but not the bitter truth. But now I think wo itna play out ho gaya ki log is like, ki Revanth to pure time creepy karta rehta hai, ki yaar ye teen cheez sudharni hai, to ye to kabhi anti nahi hai karke. But it's for everybody's benefit, right? I mean, people can take it and improve or they can be more who they are. But my always reverse ask is, everyone comes to me and says, we want to be better. Then I'll tell you how to be better, right? But I realize it doesn't help long term because people say it, they don't actually mean it. Because if you meant it, then you will actually think long and hard about every feedback, write down, double click, triple click, go deeper, see how do I solve it, versus just leave it at that and say, main kar lunga, figure out. Sorry, you want to mention?
No, absolutely. No, I'm saying for founders, it's actually easier because the entire alignment of incentive is for the growth of the company, right? So if there is something that comes to the founder which they may not like, let's say feedback about behavior or tu bahut podcast kar raha, you're getting distracted, or your feedback to your employees is, let's say, lacks empathy, whatever. These are all things that could offend someone, for example. Like, all of us probably get it directly, indirectly, etc. But if we act on it, does the company become better? Do we become more effective as founders? The answer is yes. And given our financial incentives are so aligned to the company becoming better, it far outweighs any risk of being offended at all, at least after a certain maturity level, right? So that's why it's much easier to give founders advice or feedback than what most people imagine it to be. Because our incentives are locked into us acting on that feedback if it's coming from a smart source.
Yeah, but don't you think, Shantanu, even for senior teams, while in our case, financial incentives are like extremely on one side, but in today's case, at least for senior teams, also they are part shareholders.
Yes.
And starting to, like, whenever I ask this question, okay, let's say when an argument is happening and if I ask people that, okay, you are a shareholder in GoQuick, would you have the same answer? I think people...
But the other issue, the issue with you and a senior person is dispensability. Right? Founder is indispensable for the most part. Senior team members, when they get feedback, there are existential questions also. Ki, oh, you know, does this mean that I will not get promoted? Does this mean I will be irrelevant tomorrow?
Yeah, there's a deeper problem that people don't internalize. It's they don't look at what we need to do versus ye hamare sath bhi hota hai waise. Like initially in the first 2-3 years now, when let's say a shareholder would give me feedback, I would creep to Chirag, right? Ki yaar ye investor samajhte hi nahi hai. Hamara kya dukh raha hota hai? Hum 16 ghanta mara rahe, back pain. Like this was before my spinal surgery also, right? Like half the time I am bedridden and trying to figure company kaise chalate hai and you know, do 0 to 1. So it's easy to blame the external world. But again, there is another Ben Horowitz article only that really, really, really I sent to everybody, right? Now the senior leadership also sent. It's called No One Cares. So, and I think over time that you're, I think I like the word you use, it's maturity. Even founders need to mature. Ki yaar, tumhara kaam hai yaar, tum hi ghuse ho. Investor tum hi leke aaye ho. Ab good or bad, ke koi na koi sabka apna apna tarika hota hai. Just do your job, right? Matlab, instead of worrying about what the world thinks about you, just focus on things that are in your control. Do the best, improve if possible, do better. And I'm sure tomorrow, you know, you will feel that at least, okay, it was not as bad as we thought, right? And this just has to keep continuing, right? And I think it's a question of reducing insecurity. I take your point. Founders are lesser insecure, or at least as CEOs, because we technically get a 5-year term, right? Even if now we are broadly like professional CEOs, we have broadly a 5-year term, right? Like now, let's take Piyush Bansal, right? Lenskart going public. He has an employee agreement now that he's CEO for 5 years, MD and CEO for 5 years. At the end of 5 years, if things are not great, the board may decide that we need some other CEO. But he has a 5-year plan. Whereas I don't think employees have 5-year contracts. They do have 4-year ESOP vesting. So broadly, there is an alignment, that unsaid implicit arrangement, that we feel that every time we give more ESOP, which is 4-year vesting, we know that aur 4 saal aage to soch raha hai karke. But I think it's very implicit. It's not very explicit. Maybe that helps. Maybe with senior leadership, Chirag, we should try that, right? Ki do a 5-year contract. Ki yaar, ye 5 saal ka employee contract hai, and this is how things will flow. Nahi kya? Shanto, like, nahi, nahi, bilkul, nahi, bilkul.
Hiring process are never perfect.
The way our boards function now, they have very clearly said that this is where you should get us involved. This is what the SHS is. I think that kind of at least code of conduct or a written document is not there. What ends up happening is we are there daily, whereas our board is meeting us, let's say, once a month, once in 3 months. So, you know, there is this implicit understanding ki bhai, matlab, one, of course, you're a founder, two, creep karne batao, matlab, that's not the forum. You know, because, meko to lagta hai, because we are in office daily and then we are visible, chalo yaar, and then there is someone. I'm sure that if we also meet our board daily, na, to kuch na kuch creep bhi kar lenge.
100%. Proximity argument, you're right.
When you are at that stage where out of 4 weeks, you should 1 week at least not go to office. Tanu disagrees, Shant.
Shantanu to agrees. Shantanu is like, main office jaate hi nahi hu.
Shantanu also sensing, or did it get discussed in the board meeting, that there is general more optimism around India growth, etc., especially in online businesses?
Honestly, I still think it's just a shift of behavior from online to offline. My belief still is that we are just seeing the real... offline to online.
You are right, yaar. I was meeting someone who has been running offline retail for a while, legacy business. He has been saying, yaar, offline retail is struggling.
And look at
cash
the base
flow cycles are so mismatched.
Correct. So think about Unilever plus P&G plus Marico and all of these guys who do about $20 billion put together, everybody, right? Consumer durables, consumer apparel, consumer ye sab le le tu. So your online index is all of these, right? Fashion, beauty, health and wellness, some durables and stuff like that. So jo $20 billion hai, jo 10% pe grow kar raha tha. So they were adding $2 billion a year in revenue, has come down to, let's say, 5%. But that $1 billion has just moved to online, which is why, but for online brands, when you add 100 crore every year, it's like, oh my God, tumne 100 crore add kar diya. But net, we seem to be adding that billion and a half to online brands. So that's my broad read.
But Revanth, then why isn't, let's say, e-commerce guidance increasing? I still hear the $70-80 billion India e-commerce market. I think that should be...
Which mein Amazon slow ho gaya tha na. Amazon Flipkart slow ho gaya tha. And now if you see Prime Pay, Amazon has released a better than expected numbers that Harish shared with us. Flipkart tells me their growth is back. Amazon and Flipkart were largely the index for India e-commerce, right? So if you see FY24 and 25 results, their growth slowed down significantly. Now, Amazon and Flipkart are both saying that growth is back. Now, why is it back? They can only answer. But Meesho continues to grow. Quickcom is growing. my belief is that renewed push now of just online behavior compounding is just kicking in. So I think you will start seeing a re-rating because your Prime Day announced kiya, Prime Day ke results announced kiya Amazon ne, kafi achhe, better than expected hai. The interesting thing, I'm sure you should talk to more brands, but while Quickcom is growing, we don't see the e-com slowing down. So D2C is growing, e-com is growing, and Quickcom is growing obviously faster than others. Broadly, just seems like spending shift here, behavior. Like, see, it was still very early when we said that India will move online. And everyone kept saying ki acha 8% online, 10% online ho jayega. But if you consider 18-20% online ho jayega, to fir bahut bada TAM expansion ho raha hai, no? That's all that is happening. I think it's just the numbers are getting more real that in $1 trillion.
I was curious that I'm not hearing at least these red sales, etc. say $100 billion market ho gaya.
I think it lag effect hota hai wo. We see the numbers first. Like every research company looks at all the numbers.
28 mein. But then we should be 100 plus.
My view is FY26 or CY25, whatever numbers Amazon or Flipkart and Meesho announce. Ideally, with that, people will start going deeper and saying, yeah, Quickcom agar itna bada ho raha hai, aur Amazon, Flipkart bhi slow down nahi ho rahe hain, wo bhi bade ho rahe hain, Meesho bhi bada ho rahe hain. So, three large e-com platforms. I don't think Nykaa's slowing. They are still giving 20% year-on-year growth guidance.
Ab to grow raha
hai. Theek to hai sab. I just think it's just shifting. And that's where I think the real results will be if you look at why has Reliance Retail ka IPO stalled. Because the numbers are not great, right? And I think offline retail is struggling more than they are accepting.
Even like for example, offline also, like Lahori Jeera, for example, is a fantastic offline story.
Nee, but sorry, do alag cheez mix kar rahe hain, Shantanu. I think there will be brands that will be created offline. Chirag's point was because he looks at the index of all D2C companies, right? Apart from a few enterprises that he works with, most of the D2C companies in the country work with him. What is surprising him is that if the market, like is the market growing or is, and has to be, because how can D2C brands continue to grow and increase margin? Because that's what broadly people are saying, that hamara margin stable hai aur hum grow kar rahe hain, ya margin bhi improve ho rahe hai aur grow bhi kar rahe hain. That can only happen when the market is growing.
Yes.
Right? So his ask is, why is there no data point from a Red Seer or somebody saying that the e-com market now has to be re-rated? Ki, you know, if we thought FY28 mein it will become $60 billion, maybe that needs to be re-rated to $75 billion.
Yeah.
Like who's tracking this? And my limited point is, I think people get there a little late. वो उनको टाइम लगता है टू इंडेक्स अक्रॉस मल्टीपल कंपनीज एंड फॉर एवरीवन टुडे इट्स जस्ट इजी टू लुक एट अमेज़न फ्लिपकार्ट डेटा बिकॉज दैट वाज 50-60% ऑफ और 70% ऑफ ई-कॉम एज पर एवरीबॉडी सो दे लाइक वो 70% अगर ग्रो करेगा देन हम रीरेट करेंगे वो ग्रो नहीं कर रहा था पहले एटलीस्ट लास्ट 2 साल दे हैव गिवन वेरी म्यूटेड गाइडेंस आई थिंक दे विल रिवाइज देयर गाइडेंस नाउ
अमेज़न प्राइम हैड सम ग्रेट नंबर्स दिस टाइम एटलीस्ट व्हाट आई रीड
Now 3x ho gaya hai, matlab category size have increased.
And interestingly, probably fast. A lot of these new signups coming from tier 2, tier 3 cities.
Was it?
Everywhere. Yeah.
Interesting. Yahi to
hai. I was there with nutrition brand yesterday. I think they were saying tier 2, tier 3, massive trench.
No, nutrition mein toh, matlab, I think democratized access hai.
Har jagah hai na, Shantanu. Everything is democratized access. If you think about Meesho.
Haan, actually, mein true supply constraint hai. The same fashion is not available in a tier 2, tier 3. Toh mall hi nahi hai. हमारे गुड़गांव में तो ऑफ कोर्स वी कैन स्टेप इनटू अ मॉल एंड फिगर आउट दैट ओनित्सुका शूज वहां तो है ही नहीं एंड देयर आर दी इंटरेस्टिंग स्निकर्स इन लाइक अ ट्रेंड
डेमोक्रेटाइज या आई थिंक डेमोक्रेटाइज एक्सेस इन टर्म्स आल्सो लाइक इट्स मीनिंगफुल टू देम लाइक बिकॉज व्हाट ऑफ द कंटेंट दे आर गेटिंग एंड एक्सेस टू कंटेंट दे आर आल्सो लाइक अ लॉट मोर अवेयर ऑन लेट्स से न्यूट्रिशन एंड प्रोटीन एंड जिम एंड दिस एंड दैट सो आई एम फेयरली सर्टेन इफ यू लुक एट जिम इक्विपमेंट सेल्स आल्सो वुड हैव increased in the last 2-3 years in tier 2, tier 3 is my hypothesis.
By the way, did you read that data? I was firstly in disbelief that India has more Instagram users than WhatsApp.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's verified now.
That is crazy.
That's absolutely
crazy. That is crazy. Is it because older people are coming on Instagram or is it that younger people are not on WhatsApp anymore?
Younger people tend to use Instagram also as a communication channel.
Yes. So, a lot of young people are not on WhatsApp apparently.
India does not have TikTok, so that share is also with Insta. That was at least what was told. So Insta is going to be, if we have been using Insta, I think Insta DMs, etc. will become even more powerful over time. Which was quite crazy for, you know, overall, let's say social media users, then you have UPI users, and then you have Instagram, WhatsApp, then Instagram, and then commerce shoppers. But this has defied the trend.
What number are you Instagram? 750,
I heard 600, close to 600.
नहीं ज्यादा होगा व्हाट्सएप यूजर्स तो 700 मिलियन क्रॉस है
500 वाज
At least they didn't say the number. They said Instagram is higher.
Which is
fascinating.
Quite fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, entertainment is seriously becoming like, in the end, Insta is entertainment. No? Mm. Even YouTube, by the way, YouTube now claims 700 million plus, Chirag. Like, they're saying 750. Very interestingly, I don't know where they get this data, but they did some research where some 44% people said who watch YouTube Shorts that we don't watch Instagram Reels. Adani, con. हाँ ऐसे कुछ तो डेटा पॉइंट दिया उन्होंने 44% ऑफ पीपल हु वॉच यूट्यूब शॉर्ट्स डोंट वॉच इंस्टा रील्स
एसिमेट्रिक इज नॉट दैट लार्ज
सो आई टुक अ लिटिल बिट ऑफ अ डिपस्टिक एंड एटलीस्ट पीपल बिलीव दैट दे वुड हैव स्पोकन टू सो देयर्स अ लॉट ऑफ वर्नैक कंटेंट ऑन यूट्यूब सो यूट्यूब एल्गो इज डिजाइंड वेरी आई मीन ऑफकोर्स इवन द इंस्टा एल्गो इज बट द सप्लाई ऑफ वर्नैक्युलर कॉन्टेंट like Tamil content for Tamilians, Malu content for people, who, like not just region, but people who have a very high affinity. YouTube was always designed as a content hub. So the content creation was very, very deep around regional languages as well. And the consumption of regional language content on YouTube is very high compared to Instagram. So while Shantanu, you are seeing a very good traction in your Marathi reels, I think that will play out in Insta also.
Marathi reels are on Insta only. That's not on YouTube yet.
I know. I'm just saying that YouTube has played this game before. As a platform, the creators were very, very, very deep on saying, yeah, this is who I am. And they got massive love for that. So there are people with 10 million, 20 million followers who do only Varnak content. And chote nahi hai wo log. Matlab aise bahut saare hain, right? So the depth of regional content, we can call it. Varnak maybe is a wrong word. Very, very specific regional content is much higher as supply on YouTube, which allows maybe these people who watch shorts in that regional content to not watch Insta Reels because they don't relate much to that. So maybe that's the other thing playing out. Like I was talking to Hitesh, so he was saying ki yaar Shravan aa gaya to because he sells only chicken masalas. He's like, boss, dhande ki lag gayi hai karke. Matlab Shravan hai to chicken log kam kha rahe, to masala nahi order. I said, theek hai, let's take this time to experiment. And I was exactly in this session of YouTube and I just called him and said, why don't you try some? And tabhi tune bhi bheja tha mereko ki ye Marathi reel bahut badhiya chal raha hai. So I told Hitesh ki kaam kar, why don't you, abhi bhi chicken kaun kha raha hai? I was like, Bengali kha rahe hain, Maharashtrians kha rahe hain, North Indians kam kha rahe karke. Because wo Shravan ka bahut bol raha tha ki nahi khana, nahi khana. South Indian kha rahe hain. तो एक काम कर, एक बंगाली रील कर विद अ बंगाली इन्फ्लुएंसर, मल्लू कर, एक महाराष्ट्रियन कर, एंड टुडे ओनली एक पिन, यार तीनों में एकदम बढ़िया एंगेजमेंट है, सही चल रहा है, ड्यूरिंग श्रावण आल्सो बढ़िया उसमें वो आ रहा है, एंड यही करना है ना फिर, मतलब बेसिकली चिकन तो सब खाते हैं बट सबकी अलग डिशेस है, लाइक फॉर एग्जाम्पल ही हैज, व्हाई इज ही शोइंग ओनली अ ग्रिल्ड चिकन टिक्का, नाउ ही हैज टू इमेजिन व्हाट इंडिया ईट्स इन चिकन एट एवरी, लाइक इट्स सच अ मैसिव एक्सपेंशन पॉसिबिलिटी, राइट, लाइक एवरी स्टेट और सिटी और रीजन हैज देयर ओन favorite 5 chicken dishes, he can have a masala for that and focus, and it's a very large TAM. Matlab, 20-30 million log rahenge Insta pe for every one of those dishes.
Yeah, the only push I will make to him is like focus. Like if you want to do Bengal, then like take 10 influencers, take 6 months and really crack that market. Then go to, if you have like a limited amount of money, which I'm assuming everyone kind of operates.
Yeah.
Even like Varnak works, now then figure out one market and then get a flywheel going, then quick commerce pe listing karao, fir offline mein thoda, you know, kind of focused, empty, etc. Then move to Kerala. Then Kerala is a very good market, like for these things. So
it's a very I don't know. I'm just saying ki thoda wo evaluate karna padega, because India mein na, actually we are, I am saying eerily, like I don't know if you guys remember this, but when we were in maybe MBA or maybe a little before that, there was this big legend around how Thumbs Up beat Coca-Cola in Telangana, Andhra, right? Because they created a very localized campaign around biryani ke saath Thumbs Up hi hai karke types. And they like creamed the market share, 70-80%, right? I am realizing with a 700 million Instagram depth and maybe it's YouTube and now with regional content, effectively you have to think of it like TV advertising ki har state ka tumhara campaign alag hai. But wap, paisa bahut chahiye uske liye.
So selectively karna padega, absolutely.
And I just got this data. IG 700 million, you are saying, and average they are saying it's 36 minutes a day.
I put up a post yesterday which got a lot of ire from creators, because I think apne ko lagta hai ki financial inequity hai ki if a lot of money is concentrated in the top 1%, I think with attention economy it's even worse. So kya hai, a lot of these young people have been told ki you have to wait for that one viral moment till you become like a creator earning lakhs of rupees through brand deals. Hey, naache ja ga rahe, 300 view, 400 view, saalo saal, dude. Wasting life, then nothing is coming there. So there is that whole social issue, I think. And like, I really hope, like, you guys are young parents, that you know, that the whole art of performance should be removed from this whole attention economy. Don't karo, apne liye karo, but sense of self should not be attached to that. But India has 10 crore creators. Nahin, kaun bol raha hai? Koi apne liye nahi karta. Sab logon ko lag raha hai ki main ek din famous ho jaunga aur mujhe paise milenge. Kele kele kar rahe hote hain, to fir
very hard for you to dissuade them, because the algorithm is addicted them now. It's a drug.
Only yaar.
It's a drug.
Wahi to main bol raha hu. Financial iniquity, that is a function of markets. This is a function of YouTube, Instagram algorithms, yaar.
This was my point to Arjun also, no? Ki, like, while they are doing well on live commerce on Douyin, Douyin is technically going to win because you are a slave to the algorithm. Tomorrow the algorithm may switch off and then you'll be like, ki bhai, ab kya kare? I think there is a limited point in time where you should use the algorithm to still amplify the message that you want to, but you don't have to change who you are. I think what is happening is people are confusing the long term. That there's no long term, for example, for maybe individuals, because they don't know how to think long term. But for businesses, you have to leverage this point in time and say, yeah, long term, this is what I want to build. And this is a point in time where I can, like, for example, I was asking Hitesh for the 15th time in the last 1.5 years, ki acha Shravan hai, fir Navratri hai, to veg wale masale launch karne. Why are you only a chicken masala or a non-veg masala company? He was like, Revan, agli bar aap puchoge na, phone kaat dunga, I will fuck to you if you tell me to order a veg masala bana. I am not, never going to be a veg masala company, because we are a non-veg masala company. We are going to be loved only by non-vegetarians. I don't give a shit about vegetarians. They can order, they can try my tandoori and put it in paneer. I am okay. But I am not going to come out and make a masala that enjoy this paneer as such, because the passion, going back to your original point of founders being passionate, his passion and purpose is around that, yeah, meat eaters should really enjoy their meals, right? Finally, at least the slight conviction has come on, maybe egg, like egg is still non-veg, right? Or at least it's close to non-veg. But coming back, he did agree to say, okay, let me think about how to leverage a channel like Instagram differently, but it will still not change my long-term brand purpose. I think it's very rare to find people who are long-term in their purpose and passion and are willing to navigate the short-term intricacies of how the markets change or channels change or the reality becomes different over a 3-4 year period, but still stick to your long-term messaging and brand strategy, which is from a business perspective. I to see that very few businesses only do this. Individuals say, what do you expect? Like, there is no long-term plan that people have. Ki, this is who I want to become. If they have that, then they can leverage the creator framework of saying that I'll get views on the reels to achieve that purpose. But if the purpose is clear, then kachre mein dance karenge, na, kya karenge, fir, wo? Matlab, because they are thinking views is the end game, but it's not the end game.
Yeah.